Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I guess I've never seen the crowd quite as small as this, but these are the choice ones. Please turn to Joshua, the book of Joshua. Chapter 20. I wonder if we could have those lights out, please. They're affecting my eyes here. Thank you. At Joshua chapter 20, we'll read the whole chapter, 9 verses, verse 1. And the Lord also spoke to Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge. That's the theme that I'd like to share today. The cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses. That the slayer who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he flees to one of those cities and stands at the entrance of the gate of the city and declares his case in the hearing of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city as one of them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not deliver the slayer into his hand, because he struck his neighbor unintentionally and did not hate him beforehand. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the one who is high priest in those days. Then the slayer may return and come to his own city and his own house, to the city from which he fled. So they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in the mountains of Naphtali, Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountains of Judah, and on the other side of the Jordan by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness on the plain from the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth in Gilead from the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan from the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger who dwelt among them, and whoever killed a person accidentally might flee there and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stand before the congregation. This is the very word of God. And all cities of refuge. I would like to suggest that these cities of refuge, there were 6 of them. I would like to suggest that they are pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our refuge. We believe that these 6 cities of refuge picture the mercy of God. A man shall be an hiding place. That's Isaiah chapter 32, verse 2. That really is convincing, isn't it? Isaiah said, a man shall be a hiding place.
Huh?
And you study that passage of scripture, and I think you will be convinced, as I am, that Isaiah is referring to the man, Christ Jesus. He is the hiding place. Refuge in a person. That's the message that this passage of scripture has for us. I'd like to share with you three points on this subject of the cities of refuge. Number one, the urgency of the cities of refuge. Secondly, we'll consider the accessibility to the cities of refuge. Thirdly, we want to consider the names of the six cities of refuge. Names in scripture always have a meaning, whether it's the name of a city or whether it's the name of a person. And we believe that this is significant. We believe that there are spiritual lessons that we should be learning from the meaning of these names. Number one, the urgency. It says that he may flee. You see, it's a matter of life or death.
What is read about?
There is the avenger of blood. There is the manslayer who accidentally kills somebody. And the avenger of blood has the perfect right to carry out judgment against the man who killed somebody. The avenger of blood, I'd like to suggest, is a picture of the justice of God. God is a just God, and he has the right to bring justice and judgment against a murderer. I think that the avenger, the justice of God, is a picture of the law, the Ten Commandments and the other law. The avenger, the justice of God, kills, but it never gives life. The avenger of blood never offered life to anyone.
That when
the law kills, the law says the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it must die. That's the avenger of wilderness
provided.
There is the premeditated murderer.
That was the brain.
He is the one who planned because of either hatred or jealousy or some other reason. He killed somebody. Premeditated murder. No refuge. They won't let him in. The elders at the gates of the cities of refuge, they would stop him right there. And they would wait for the avenger of blood to catch up with him and kill him. The premeditated murder, I'd like to suggest, is a picture of the unrepentant rejecter,
prophet.
He knows the gospel. He knows the truth. He knows that he's guilty. He knows that he deserves to die. And he is offered rescue, but he refuses to accept it.
And
there's no hope for him, no refuge. We have a number of examples in the Word of God. One in the Old Testament is Cain. Cain. There was no refuge for Cain. He intentionally killed his brother, Abel. And there was no hope for him. Now he brought an offering. He was a religious person. He brought an offering, but it didn't bring him salvation. It represented his works. But there was no salvation for Cain. And then we have another example in the New Testament of premeditated murder, unrepentant rejecter, no refuge. His name is Judas Iscariot. If there was anyone who should have known for sure who the Savior was, Judas Iscariot should have known. For 3 years only, he had a fellowship with the door to heaven. The one who is the refuge of sinners.
But when you
knew who he was, he watched the miracles that he performed, he listened to the messages from his lips.
Scripture.
And Judas Iscariot is in hell today because he was a premeditated murderer, an unrepentant rejecter of the gospel. But now the manslayer. The cities of refuge were available to the manslayer. Here we have a picture of a repentant sinner. A sinner who repents of his sin. Guilty, but he repents. Until accidental. We would say, why would he be held responsible when it was an accident? It was accidental, but he was held responsible because he shed innocent blood.
First of all,
this is very serious in the eyes of God.
Man,
he shed innocent blood. He was held responsible.
The work of
a provision was made for him. You see, ignorance is not innocent. He was ignorant of what he did, but he was not innocent. He was held responsible. He had to flee. Because if the avenger of blood would have caught up with him, the avenger would have had the perfect right, legal right, to kill him on the spot. God is a holy God. Shedding blood is very serious business. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus was hanging on the cross? The very first words that he spoke while he was hanging on the cross, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. That's why he came into this world. That's why he went to Calvary, to provide salvation and forgiveness of sins. He said, Father, forgive them. What else did he say? They know not what they do. Ignorant,
like
not innocent.
It's
interesting in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, where we have the many different Old Testament offerings. Leviticus chapter 4, we won't take the time to turn to it, but there we have the offerings for the sin of ignorance. There had to be an offering for sin of ignorance. This included the ignorance of the politicians. It included the ignorance of the leaders of the country. It included the ignorance of the priests. It included the ignorance of all of the people of God. And there was a special sacrifice in Leviticus chapter 4 to cover the sin of ignorance. Okay, who's really guilty here?
Greed.
It was Adam that sinned in the Garden of Eden. Why not take it out on him? Why shouldn't he be the one to die? He died. But the Word of God teaches that in Adam, all die. You and I are descendants of Adam, and death is just as real to us as it was to Adam way back then. You see, we are not guilty of the original sin, but we are contaminated by it. That pretty well says it, doesn't it?
Errors.
We're not guilty of the original sin that Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. We're not guilty of it, but we have been contaminated by it. And every human being born into this world is born with the Adamic sin. Abel, you know the story of Abel in the book of Genesis. He was not a murderer by Cain. Was he? He didn't murder anybody. Wasn't guilty of murder like Cain was. But he still needed an offering. He still needed an offering.
And that?
Ignorant of a no parking sign, you'll get a ticket.
Word of God.
You know, you drive up and you park your car and go into the mall for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. I don't know why anybody would want to do it, but they do it. And you park your car and you come back to the car and there is a well-dressed gentleman and he is placing a pink-colored slip under the windshield wiper of your car. And you say to him, "Sir, what are you doing?" "Here's a ticket." And he points to a no parking sign. "Oh, but I didn't see that. And I'm a stranger here. I'm from the Philippine Islands and I didn't notice that. Here's your ticket, $50. The address is on the bottom. Send it within 10 days. Ignorance is not innocent.
Perfectly.
I think we have this dramatically illustrated in the Philippine Islands.
Correct.
You are driving your car and you accidentally hit a pedestrian. He steps out in the way of your car. You hit him, and he's killed. What do you do? Here in the United States, you get out of your car, and you do everything to help the poor victim. Not in the Philippines. Not what you do. You flee for refuge to the nearest police station. You don't stop and help the victim. You flee for refuge. It's the only safe place. They practice lynching in the Philippines. This person that was killed, his relatives and his friends come out of the rice field with their bolos in their hands, and guess what they do? They chop you into small pieces, and the law permits them. Doesn't do anything about it. They practice lynching. Flee to the city of refuge. That was the message to the people that killed someone accidentally. I'd like you to notice that the manslayer who fled to the city of refuge, he had to abide in that city. He had to stay there. It was the only safe place for him to remain in the city of refuge. In their case, he remained there until the death of the high priest. You know those high priests in the Old Testament? They were replacing them all the time. Death came in. And that manslayer was safe as long as the high priest was alive. You and I have a high priest, a great high priest,
John,
and he is alive forevermore. Isn't that wonderful? That we have eternal security and eternal safety because we have a great high priest.
Are you good?
Abiding in Christ, that's the place of security, beloved. If you're a born-again Christian believer, you are abiding in the city of refuge. You're abiding in Christ. We have this illustrated again and again in the Old Testament scripture. How about Noah and his family abiding in the ark? As long as they were in the ark, they were in the safety zone. They were unable to get out of the ark because it says the Lord shut the door. And when the Lord shuts the door, it's sealed perfectly. But they were abiding in the ark. They were abiding in Christ. And that is the place of security. We have other examples. The firstborn in the land of Egypt on the night of the Passover, when they killed the lamb and shed the blood and applied the blood to the doorpost and the lintel of the home, there was only one place that the firstborn was safe. Where was it? In the house sheltered by the blood. Number two, the accessibility of the cities of refuge. There were six of them. They were accessible, very easy to get to. First, I'd like you to notice, they were divinely appointed. It was God's idea. The Lord spoke to Moses, and Moses spoke to Joshua, and Joshua spoke to the people of God, to prepare the cities of refuge. City of refuge. The Lord Jesus Christ is the city of refuge. He was appointed by God. Chosen by God. But these six cities of refuge were strategically located so that they were available for anyone, any place. On both sides of the Jordan River, you know, there were 2.5 tribes that stayed on the east side of the Jordan River and the wilderness side. What about them? They were true believers. They needed the city of refuge too. God provided three of the cities of refuge to be on the wilderness side of the Jordan River. The other three were on the Canaan side, not of the Jordan River. any of the children of Israel were capable of finding one of the cities of refuge. Those cities were always nigh to someone who needed it. Those cities were set on a hill so you couldn't miss them. The roads were plainly marked. No excuse for not finding the city. The gates were always open, 24 hours a day, always available. Remember one day Thomas said to the Lord Jesus, "How can we know the way?" Do you remember the answer the Lord Jesus gave? "I am the way. I am the city of refuge." I believe that you and I, as Christians today, should be signposts along the way, pointing sinners to the city of refuge. Signposts along the way. And I'd like you to notice that the refuge was for whosoever will. Israelites, yes. But it was for these strangers and sojourners too. The people who were visiting were just as welcome to take advantage of the refuge in the cities of refuge. You see, the Lord Jesus said, "By me, if any man, any woman, Gentile, Jew, anyone shall enter in, he shall be saved." Number three, the significance of the names of the cities of refuge, because we said that they apply to the Lord Jesus. A man shall be a hiding place. They apply to the Lord Jesus. We believe that the meaning of these cities of refuge apply to the character and the all-sufficiency of our Lord Jesus Christ. Kadesh, that was one of the cities. That means holy place. The Lord Jesus is the holy place. He's the holy refuge for the unclean. You remember in the tabernacle and in the temple in the Old Testament, out in the courtyard, first of all, there was the brazen altar where the animal sacrifices were offered. Then there was the laver, that huge basin of water. The brazen altar speaks of salvation. You go to the brazen altar, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have salvation. What about the laver? That speaks of sanctification. The priest goes from the brazen altar on his way to the holy place and then the Holy of Holies. He goes by the laver and he washes. You can't enter the holy place with sin. That's the lesson. So what do we have here? The brazen altar, salvation. The laver is sanctification. The holy place is glorification. Shechem is the next city of refuge, and the meaning of Shechem is shoulder. Shoulder in Scripture is known for strength. That's the strongest part of the human being. You have a heavy load to carry, you place it on your shoulder. In the Philippines, they placed it on their heads. But I think here we would place the heavy load on the shoulder for strength. You remember when the shepherd found the lost sheep, brought him back home, where he placed the lost sheep? Place them on his shoulder. Place of strength. Hebron. The name Hebron means fellowship. The city of refuge was intended for fellowship. There was the congregation. There was the high priest. You could have fellowship with the people of God. You could have fellowship with God through the high priest in the Old Testament. Number four, Bezer was another. That name means stronghold. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Proverbs 18, verse 10. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's Romans 5, verse 6. Number 5, Ramoth. That means exalted. And that very easily applies to the Lord Jesus, doesn't it? He is the exalted one. God has highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. But wait a minute. How does that affect the believer? Where is the believer? The believer is in Christ. And if God has highly exalted our Savior, he has highly exalted the believer. You and I
have
exalted to God's right hand because we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, those that are in Christ are sanctified, are called saints, are made holy, and are capable of being in the very holy of holies. Once we were afar off, but we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You remember the prayer and the song of Hannah in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 2? What a beautiful prayer. In her prayer, she pictures the sinner as a beggar on a dunghill. That's not too complimentary, is it? A sinner as a beggar on a dunghill. But she doesn't leave him there. You know where he ends up? A prince in a palace. That's the testimony of the Christian. As sinners, we are beggars on a dunghill. But because we have been rescued and redeemed, we are as princes in a palace. The Lord Jesus was lifted up that he could draw all men to himself. That's John 12:32. That's why he was lifted up. Now, he was lifted up at Calvary that he could draw us to himself for salvation. But he was lifted up to God's right hand that he could draw us to glorification. Golan. That means separated. a manslayer that fled to the city of refuge. He was separated from the avenger of blood, the world, the flesh, and the devil. He was separated from them. For what? Communion with God's people and communion with God. The believer has fled for refuge. He is in Christ. According to Hebrews chapter 6, our hope is as an anchor, sure and steadfast within the veil. That's the spiritual lesson that we can apply to ourselves. And our hope is in Christ, our refuge, an anchor, sure and steadfast within the veil. The sinner must flee for refuge because the avenger, death, judgment, are pursuing. There's danger. Remember in the city of Sodom, before the city of Sodom, cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, remember the angel said to Lot, escape for thy life. That's the message of the gospel for the sinner. Escape for your life. It's a matter of life or death. Lot's wife, poor Lot's wife. It looked like she was escaping, but she turned back. Her heart was in the city where all of her possessions were, and she was changed to a pillar of salt. You see, for the sinner, there's no neutral ground. We are either in the city of refuge or we are out of the city of refuge. And I think the important lesson that we want to keep in our minds, a man shall be a hiding place. I have no problem with applying the cities of refuge to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our refuge. If you're in Christ, you're saved for all eternity. The avenger of blood cannot get at you. Let us pray. Father, how we thank thee for the Lord Jesus, the hiding place. Those of us that have been redeemed by precious blood, we're very thankful today for this hiding place, the city of refuge, eternally saved and eternally secure. And it's all because of the Lord Jesus. Father, if there is someone today who has never fled to the city of refuge, has never bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus to receive him as Savior and Lord, we pray that today would be the day that they would respond to the gospel. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me, that you paid the debt of sin, that you bore my judgment for me. And now I want you as my city of refuge. We pray in his worthy name. Amen.